The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys?
Yeah! Go Cowboys!
This is Media Mash, a roundtable of Cowboys insiders dropping wisdom
and offering sizzling takes
on the current state of your Dallas Cowboys. Now your host, Nui Scruggs.
Let's ride. A whole lot of topics to get to with John Machota of The Athletic, Patrick Walker, DallasCowboys.com. You got Clarence Hill, the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. I'm Nui Scruggs, and let's dive right into my favorite trade that the Cowboys made for receiver Brandon Cooks. I'm not going to mention the name that a whole lot of other people wanted out there. Mm-hmm. Good player. But Cooks was the guy the Cowboys had tried to get out of Houston. Didn't do it. They wanted a third. Now you get it for a 5 and a 6. And Houston's going to pay $6 million. So it's a $12 million contract for a guy that can take the receiver off the top. John, go.
I think it's a great move. Don't get me wrong. Especially for what they gave up. A fifth and sixth. I mean, mm-hmm. What are you losing there, Bradley and I? that's one thing. The other part of it, though,
it is
funny, as you guys know, being on Twitter, how they make the move. They make the Stephon Gilmore move, which I'm sure we'll talk about.
Yes.
And people still find ways to be like, oh, yeah. Well, can they still go get this guy? Can they go get that guy? Can they still make the move with that guy? It's like, have you been following this franchise in this time of year? I mean, it's basically been very neutral. Like, the car is in neutral this time of year. To be making these moves early on, I don't care if you think Brandon Cooks is the best receiver in the league or you think he's a Pro Bowler or not. What he can bring to this offense is some juice. I mean, just Brandon Cooks last year on this team, that might have been the difference of them going to the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And so you might not think – the other one about Brandon Cooks that I love, too, is people like, oh, he's already been traded 4 times. Yeah, and he's had 1,000-yard seasons with all 4 different teams. I mean, and here's the other thing. He's getting traded because he has value. If he was just an okay receiver, he's an old receiver, they do this thing called let you go. You know? So, I mean, the idea that, like – I don't know. And he went to back-to-back Super Bowls and played at a high level on both of those teams. I will say the one thing real quick I wanted to add is it is interesting his size-wise doesn't really match up with what maybe Mike McCarthy's had in the past. Outside of Randall Cobb, he's generally had the bigger, like 6'1", 6'2", and bigger receivers. But obviously he's speedy, so.
Yeah, I was going to say speed allows coaches and scouts to forgive a couple inches on that height. And what Brandon Cooks has is speed just pouring out of his cup. And first of all, it's finesse by the Cowboys front office. Patience is, in fact, a virtue sometimes. And there were reports that the Texans back in October were leaning on a third, but they were asking for it as high as a second. Cowboys said, you know what, we're good on that. We'll take our chances with the public courtship of OBJ. Ultimately, that landed T.Y. Hilton, who was productive, could have been more productive. But you circle back to Brandon Cooks, and you get him for a fifth-round pick this year and a sixth-round pick next year. That's an absolute steal for a guy who has 6 1,000-yard receiving seasons in 9. But even more impressive than that is who he's done it with. We understand he had time with Breeze, he had time with Brady, but more recently he had time with Tyrod Taylor, Davis Mills, and just that carousel of bad quarterback play in Houston, and he was still able to produce, and he's being dropped into a Cowboys offense that's not asking him to be the number one guy. And if Michael Gallup can get back to health, then maybe not necessarily the number two. Maybe he's a 2A or a 2B. So point being, you have a proven commodity who's younger than OBJ, who is not coming off of a single torn ACL, let alone 2 torn ACLs, and it didn't cost you a premium pick. You still have, after the Gilmore pick and after this Cooks pick, you have a pick in every single one of the 7 rounds still to be made.
Chill.
Fantastic.
Jump in.
I'm trying to decide my Super Bowl ring. I mean, I'm trying to see what no Super Bowl ring.
Well, you got to get your gas money first.
I need my gas money.
So,
Super Bowl.
No Super Bowl ring, you got the gas money.
Super Bowl. No, I like the move. I mean, it's the best trade receiver the Cowboys have had since the Roy Williams receiver trade. I mean, goodness gracious. Cowboys know how to trade for those receivers, don't they? No.
I mean, I like the Amari Cooper trade, to be honest.
We knew where you were going with this. Yeah.
I'd like giving up a 1 for Amari Cooper.
The people have spoken on your Twitter. The people have spoken, right? They're still mad about Cooper.
But no, seriously, this was a good deal. And like you said, it's a good fit. Yep. You know, it's a good fit for this offense. It's what they need. You know, just talking, you know, the let's just we can talk about this. Let's kill the Odell Beckham stuff. Mm-hmm. The Cowboys, it was like Jerry Jones was a party of one with the Odell Beckham train. Okay, now he got mentioned and mentioned and mentioned, but as he told us at the combine, they have not directly spoken to Odell Beckham since the end of the season. The only person he talked to was his mama at the NFL Honors. Okay, so that's not like, oh, we're trying to, because they could have signed him anytime. They could have had this direct contact. You know, we're trying, how are you doing? Whatever. If they were really interested in him. It's like Jerry loves to push that narrative because it keeps the Cowboys on ESPN, on First Take, on Undisputed. People are talking about almost like,
you know, do you think they were? He was talking about them when he said, I don't know where this $20 million is coming from, but I ain't taking four. Because when he said that, I was like, ooh, I can see where that's coming from.
I think that's where it came from.
The problem is that they probably didn't even offer him four. I don't think they made him an offer. You know, it sounds good because it sounds like the Cowboys. Like,
were you surprised they didn't go to the workout?
No, I mean, I've talked to people. Yes, you were, because of all the interest supposedly by the Cowboys in him, but talking to outside of Jerry, talking about everybody else associated with the Cowboys, the front office, they were not on the Odell Beckham bandwagon. They were not on that Odell Beckham train. That was Jerry Jones pushing that train by himself. Most of the people in the building, they kept talking about, I talked at length to different people, you know, at the combine and throughout the season. They want a guy who can take the top out of the defense. That's why they were in on Brandon Cooks during the season. You know, it's why they went and got a guy like T.Y. Hilton. It's why at the end of the season when they talk about the compliment, what they were looking for, they were looking for that guy. Same reason why they were never really in on Hopkins. You know, they weren't looking for, you know, listen, love Hopkins, love the type of player he is. He has been, but he's more a possession-type receiver. You know, he's not a guy that's take the top off the defense. That's what they wanted. That's what they got. That was the perfect compliment for what they have on this receiving court in this offense, and it's a huge step forward for the Cowboys.
So go back to last year, the trade deadline, when Cooks wasn't dealt. Mm-hmm. Remember that tweet he put out?
He got mad. He stayed away from the team. And going back to that, it wasn't just a third-round pick. The Cowboys didn't like the $18 million as well.
Also true.
So the part in this trade and how they got it, which was why it was great, because the Texans picked up $6 million to help facilitate the trade. Okay, so, yeah, the Cowboys won in terms of the trade value, but they also won in terms of the cost.
Absolutely.
And the player wanted to be here.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine going from you go to the Super Bowl with the Patriots.
And the Rams.
You go to the Super Bowl with the Rams, and then you go to a team that in 3 years you win 11 games. I mean, that's got to be. Now, I understand why you go there, because they're going to give you the most money. And at the end of the day, that's what you want. So I get all of that, but that had to be really tough for him to go from winning – consistently to then all of a sudden, because even before that, you're with the Saints and they're good every year. So, that's not a surprise.
I mean, it's fantastic across the board for the Cowboys. And then, like Nui said, you're getting a player who not only wanted to be out of his current situation in Houston, but most certainly wanted to be with the team that just traded to have him. So the guy's coming in extra excited. It's that much more excitement from his standpoint as far as joining the team. And I mean, this isn't Davis Mills and this isn't Tyrod Taylor. This is Dak Prescott throwing you the ball. This is Dak Prescott throwing you the ball with CeeDee Lamb taking attention off of you, Michael Gallup taking attention off of you. We'll see what happens with Schultz. But even if not, Ferguson taking attention off of you, Tony Pollard when healthy, taking attention off of you. We'll see what they do, you know, at the running back position between now and the draft and going forward. But this another important part
of this was the, you know, Texans taking $6 million of that.
Yeah.
Because
they
give him $18 million. I don't see where they're gonna be able to handle that.
But there were some people on Twitter saying, well, you know, and which goes back to your initial point, John.
Yeah, they're never happy.
Twitter ever happy? Well, OBJ would have taken 12. Okay, well, first of all, you're not OBJ's agent.
Yeah.
Second of all, even if OBJ takes 12, if I'm facing the situation where I give 12 to Brandon Cooks or I give 12 to OBJ, and this 12 to Brandon Cooks only costs me an additional fifth round pick this year and a flyer next year, I'm going in the direction the Cowboys went. Because, yes, OBJ looks great in his workouts and everything, but he's still over 30 with two torn ACLs, and you don't know what the durability is there. You know what the durability is on Brandon Cooks. You know he's younger, and you know he can still produce at a high level.
And two things. Odell Beckham wants in most of your deal.
Yep.
This is essentially a one-year deal.
Yep.
You know, and both of them, to give them the thing about it, and what I like about it, I know we're talking about the receiver, but just the moves. These moves are about winning now.
Yep.
because the Gilmore is a one-year deal. They're older players. This is about what can we do to win that. We ain't worried about down the line. We worried about winning. That's what goes back. And, you know, I go back and
but the
we'll
picks talk. Also don't hurt you down the line. You no, know, when don't, you're giving up a second or a third, that can then right, taking away draft
right, but
capital.
I'm just talking about the commitment to the yeah. player. Mm-hmm. It's about what are we doing to help win now. This team is ready to win now. It's time to win now. That's essentially a one-year deal. It's essentially a one-year deal. Which, and as we look toward the draft, and people talk about, do you take a running back? You can't take a running back the first round because that could be 10 years. It's about winning now. If we get back to taking a running back, Bijan Robinson in the first round, it's about winning now.
It's just finesse all around. And even with the sixth round pick in 2024, depending on how the formula falls and who the Cowboys acquire versus don't acquire in free agency, you might turn around and get a comp for Connor McGovern that completely just wipes out that six you gave away to Houston anyway. So it's finesse all across the board for the Cowboys.
So Cooks is here. Two things, and go around the table and start here. Where do we see Gallup now in this receiving lineup? And then is Schultz done? Is that just a guy they let go? He's a free agent now.
Well, two things. I mean, Gallup was at best when he was the third receiver in the offense, you know. And I think it's a situation where you go back to where Gallup is your third receiver, you know. But you just want, you know, and it's really not about where he fits. It's about getting him healthy. Can we get Gallup back to being healthy and the player he was 2 years ago? Before all the injuries. Just worry about Gallup, worry about getting healthy and get back on the field. It's all going to work. And as far as the tight end position, I mean, it's funny how things work, because the reason why everybody would say, well, he's gone, is because we thought he's going to be priced out. You know, the tight end market's going to be this, and he's going to get too much out there on the market that he can't come back. Well, he's still out there, and the tight end market is down here. It's a situation where you could consider bringing him back. You know, you certainly like the young guys. But it's also just a situation where this draft is loaded with tight ends at the top of the first, second, third round. You know, and the Cowboys did a lot of homework on the tight ends at the combine. You know, certainly, so it's wide open for the Cowboys as far as the tight end position. I certainly see them drafting a tight end.
Well, there were two reasons that I figured Dalton Schultz was out in Dallas. One being what Chill said, and you thought that the market would snatch him up pretty quickly, but. Now we're in the second wave of free agency. He's still out there. Price is coming down. It's just how the business goes. But so that didn't happen. But what still is true is that if I'm the Cowboys, I'm looking at it as, okay, yeah, you could potentially bring Schultz back at a lower price, kind of some veteran stability there. Or you could go with the less expensive but probably more explosive Jake Ferguson, or that combination Jake Ferguson-Peyton Hendershot, and then circle back in the draft and really double down on getting a big name guy. It might be someone like a Darnell Washington, who's more of a blocker but can be explosive at times down the field. Or you go to Shoemaker, Michigan. I mean, there are players out there that the Cowboys have formally met with that we talked to at the combine that says, hey, Dallas is interested in me. So for me, I think it's time to go young there. You have your former fourth round pick in Jake Ferguson. You saw what you did in developing Dalton Schultz as a fourth-round pick into a starter in this league. I think from the Cowboys' standpoint, that price point for Dalton Schultz would have to be so low to bring him back that you just can't refuse it. We're just like, okay, well, no harm, no foul. Sure, come on back. But even then, are we talking progress stopper at that point?
Yeah, I also find it interesting how much we've talked on this show about, yeah, it's going to be tough to bring back Schultz. It's going to be tough to keep Dan Quinn. Cooper Rush, after he goes 4-1, it's going to be tough to bring him back. Like, and that's not obviously just us, but that's, you know, that was very well talked about, especially early in the season. So it is interesting how this stuff works out. Tight end class absolutely factors in with this, no question about it. With the Gallup thing, though, I just think he'll be fine. I think he probably put up a lot of pressure on himself that he needed to be better than he was last year because, and I mean, we're not seeing all of practice, but you heard that he was doing things in practice that made you think that he was starting to look a little bit more and a little bit more like the old Michael Gallup. But that doesn't mean that that's going to necessarily happen. Now, there's also some stuff that I've heard happen in practice that maybe were setbacks, too, that maybe got him a little scared and things like that. So the further he gets away from that injury, the other thing is with him is, like, for example, I was looking at, because I think defensive tackle is a need for this team. I was looking
Huge
at that
need.
Yeah, I was looking at that Brian Brisee from Clemson. And it's like, when you look at a guy like that, there's like multiple injuries to where you're just like, man, you just never know. Like, Michael Gallup does not have an injury history like that where it's just, well, it's this knee and it was this ankle and it's been this. Like, this is the first major injury he's had. I think he's going to be fine, especially because it's not like he has to produce like a number two. And if he does, great. If he doesn't, you have Brandon Cooks now.
Two things. I always caution this stuff about what they say in practice because I remember how great Ben DiNucci looked in practice. He was slinging that thing.
They don't I will say this. I will say this. Let me just add one little journalism. Let me add one little journalism tweak on that. There is a difference between someone telling you something right. when you don't ask about it right. and someone telling you something when you go up to them or go to your locker and go, hey, Amari. DiNucci's starting this week. Yeah. How do you think he'll do? Like, he's going to be like,
two different
real nervous. Don't really like it. Yeah. Got real wild out in practice. Throws the ball to the other team a lot. Like, you're, I mean, there's a difference. You know?
I know, that's what I'm saying.
I know.
I got to get that out there. And Darnell Washington, that dude is a freak. That Georgia
yes, he is.
Tight end. 4.640.
Yes, he
I've seen
is.
That boy.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
Big old boy.
And the thing that he brings is also, which the Cowboys haven't had at the position, mm-hmm. he can block.
And not only can he block, he's a bulldozer.
Yeah, so
he's a bulldozer.
He's a bulldozer. That I've can, at him. A time or two, that can get down the field and make those high point catches.
There was some of them boys on that Georgia team just like, you're 21, 20, you know, like you're a student. I mean, they had dudes that are bigger than the Cowboys, man. That tight end room, man.
When Alabama's been rolling, I always think of A'shaun Robinson. You see that guy walk out of the tunnel, you're just like, excuse me?
Yeah.
Speaking of A'shaun, I'm going to jump in.
Oh, wait.
I would be in on him right now.
For sure.
He visited the Giants today.
The time when Alabama had come and played that college playoff game at the Cotton Bowl, and I saw Derrick Henry up close.
Oh, yeah.
That was it. Was just,
yeah. That he's
you running the ball. Yeah. I mean, it was ridiculous. Yeah. So
yeah.
Your boy's like that. Yeah. When it was like you look, really? So yeah. Yes.
Sad boy. Yeah.
Let's take a break here. You got a one-on-one conversation with Stephon Gilmore. Let's dive into that. And I talked to a coach on the way here today, specifically for this show, about Bijan Robinson, and I'll tell you what this particular coach had to say. Who's coached against? And with Bijan Robinson, right here on the Media Mash.
Sound like Coach Pat to me.
Gosh, I hate you. DallasCowboys.com.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savanna. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
What do you call a group of grown men and women with their faces painted silver and blue who get together every week to share a 3-hour-long ritual of jumping, sinking, and toasting Miller Lite and 10-gallon hats while yelling, "How about them Cowboys?" You call it Miller Time in Dallas. Here's to the Cowboys. Here's to the original light beer. It's Miller Time. Celebrate responsibly. 2021 Miller Brewing Company, Fort Worth, Texas.
When you build, you start with a foundation. And home ownership is a foundation of a stable future. The Bank of America Community Home Ownership Commitment has helped over 34,000 people lay the groundwork so far with up to $10,000 towards your down payment or 3% of the purchase price, whichever is less. The satisfaction of owning your own place can become a reality. Visit bankofamerica.com/homeowner to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America NA, Equal Housing Lender. Credit and collateral is subject to approval. Restrictions apply. This is not a commitment to lend.
The season is finally here. For months, we've been gearing up to win. Now it's time for the team that performs on any field. United Ag and Turf. With John Deere zero turns for mowing, compact tractors for loading, mini excavators for digging, Gator utility vehicles for hauling, implements for grading, hay tools for baling. United Ag and Turf. For winning. The official Ag and Turf equipment supplier of the Dallas Cowboys. Visit UnitedAgAndTurf.com for more.
it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Back to Media Mash.
Nui Scruggs here, Media Mash. Got Patrick Walker of DallasCowboys.com. We got John Machota of The Athletic and Clarence Hill of The Star Telegram here joining us on the show. Well, dog team, you just ruined my tease. You know, just
pulled all the curtains back.
Right, right, man. I mean, just don't.
Nobody know who that is.
No,
he don't national
name. You could have just been quiet.
You know what I'm talking about?
See what happens when he doesn't get his gas money? He just gets unruly.
Who am I talking about, Machota? Who am I talking about?
I'm going to let him finish the story.
Future Hall of Fame college football coach Gary Patterson.
I'll text you.
Who spent last season as a consultant with the Longhorns on that team. They went to the Alamo Bowl and also was the head coach of TCU for 20 years. I asked him about Bijan Robinson, the running back. And he said he can catch. He said, go back to the Baylor game, check out the post that he caught there. He's like, he can really catch. He said he's a really, really good person. He's a good person. Whoever gets him in their community is really going to enjoy having Bijan Robinson there. And he said, he can run the ball. He's like, you know, he could take what maybe a loss and just, you know, go ahead and you know, make positive yards. I said, give me a guy that you've either covered, that you, you know, as a coach, you coached against.
I love comps.
Or you played with, you know, give me a guy. He said LT. He said, may not be fair to him, but he said, that kind of difference-making guy. He talked about, you know, he's a difference-maker. That you bring in a guy like that, he's like, you know what? I don't have to have a whole lot of other folks around because he's going to go ahead and make up things. Now, I hear the people out there who say you don't take a running back in the first round, but I also think these are the same people who moaned and groaned when Micah Parsons was taken because they're like, oh, you don't take a linebacker that high. But then what'd you find out? Micah's a weapon. And weapons make up for a lot of stuff. And from talking to people like Gary Patterson, defensive guy, he says, Bijan Robinson, weapon you could do a lot of things with. So, John, your thoughts on Bijan Robinson and the Cowboys that have the 26th overall pick in the draft?
I mean, if he's there, he makes a ton of sense. You know, that's the thing. Like we were saying before the break, like defensive tackle, major need. Like, you shouldn't reach for a defensive tackle if they're not worthy of that spot, because that's your biggest need. Go get Bijan Robinson then. If he can make that type of an impact immediately, which he should be able to, that's the one thing about running back. If you're a really good running back, if you're a really good high school running back, you usually can play as a true freshman. If you're a really good college running back, you usually can make an impact pretty quickly. It's not like they're going to have to sit there and like slowly bring him along. And to add him to what this offense has added this offseason, and obviously moving on from Ezekiel Elliott, yeah, Bijan Robinson's there. I think that would be a great pick.
Right before I get to Patrick here, Gary Patterson also told me that Bijan is very good at pass pro because he's smart.
One thing I was going to say. Mm-hmm. 3 years from now, if he wants to hold out and go to Cabo, let him hold out and go to Cabo, though. I will say that.
Rules change. The rules change. So, yeah. So
holding
you can't
out
do that.
Is not a thing.
Holding
out is not a thing.
All right, yeah. Well.
Rules change. You can't do that.
Well, we're not going to honor it even if you can.
Well, mine is short and sweet because he's not going to be there at 26. I have him going into the top 10, and if he falls out of the top 15, my jaw will hit the floor and roll onto the front porch. But if he's there, now that you have addressed CB2 in trading for Gilmore, now that you've addressed WR2 in adding Brandon Cooks, now I'm fine with taking Bijan Robinson at 26 if he were to be there. Prior to those things, I love the subscription of teams when it comes to BPA balancing with need. I don't want you to go full need because I think you're going to handicap yourself. But I think that if you go full BPA, you'll have a bunch of talent with no real function to it. Right, so I feel like there needs to be a balance there, and Will McClay operates that way as well, which pleases me greatly. But now that you have addressed those two of the bigger needs going into the draft, now you don't need necessarily to address them in the draft with premium picks. So if Bijan is there at 26, now I'm fine with it. Prior to those two trades, though, I would not have been. But again, he's not making it out of the top 15.
Longhorn alum?
I mean, it's a no-brainer. I mean, if he's there. I mean, and that's the thing is, I don't think he'll be there. He doesn't think he'll be there. Most people have him a top five talent. Some people have a top three talent overall in the entire draft. And if you have a top three talent, top five talent in the draft, who's at 26, it should be a no-brainer. It just kills me. And I'm just talking about philosophically that these people are out there saying, you know, you can't take a running back in the first round because of the devaluation of the running back position, because he's not going to be a 10-year player. As John said, it's not about, as I said earlier, it's about winning now. And if you get a special player, I think he'll be a better pro than he was in college, kind of like Micah, because I don't think we saw everything he could do, especially in the passing game in college. Like, there's this thought process, you don't take an off-the-ball linebacker that high. You know, well, if people redraft now, Micah Parsons is not going to be there when the Cowboys pick. You're going to be much higher because people
Two teams in the division will not pass on.
You talk about that. You know, he's a special player, special talent. You don't pass on that. He's that type of player, that type of talent. But, again, whether it's Robinson, they need to address the running back position. I think they'll address the running back position in the first three rounds, if not round one. But, yeah, there's no-brainer on Bijan Robinson if he's there.
Now that Ezekiel Elliott's gone, there's a Twitter media debate that, you know what, Jalen Ramsey should have been the guy the whole time. And there's a whole lot of people now who claim they were Jalen Ramsey people. I don't think he had an interception his last year at Florida State. It wasn't that he wasn't good, but just, you know, people weren't throwing at him. So I look at Ezekiel Elliott's career. I think he had a good career here.
Very.
I love Jalen Ramsey, but I don't have any issue with the pick. I wouldn't have had an issue with Jalen Ramsey being the pick. I get that. But also, again, I'm a huge Jalen Ramsey fan. But also, do you know that he's still here, into a second contract?
Yes,
he likes to move around a lot, too. Well,
the bigger thing is this. The Cowboys are not 13-3 in 2016 if Jalen Ramsey's here.
No.
They're not 13-3. Zeke was so much important to that offense. Dak's development,
the rookie quarterback,
all of those stuff. They're not 13-3.
But you do know what he's talking about, though.
Oh, I know what people are talking
about.
But
it's not. Oh, we take Jalen Ramsey and it's nothing else. It's because the cards have been laid out. So you go, oh, we're taking. They should have taken Jalen Ramsey there, and then with your second pick, you take Derrick Henry.
Right.
That's what people argue. And so if you're taking Derrick Henry, there's. Bill probably win 13 games that year.
If you take Derrick Henry, but we don't know that they're taking.
We don't. But I'm saying that's not. He brought up what they said on Twitter. I'm just saying that's what people say. You've seen that, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. We don't know if Derrick Henry's going to be
there. My receipts are out there pre-draft for 2016. I was the big. I mean, Jalen Ramsey was my pet cat that particular year. I was standing on the table. Go get this guy.
They
went and got Zeke. Okay, let's see what Zeke can do. Here we are 7 years later, and Zeke is third all-time rushing in the franchise and probably eventually going to be in the Ring of Honor. And to John's point, which is an excellent point, you've seen what happens when Jalen Ramsey doesn't like how contract negotiations will go. Well, let me tell you something about negotiating contracts with the Dallas Cowboys. They don't always go as well as you would like. You know, there's a lot of pull and give and not a lot of give, a lot of pull. So how do you know that Jalen Ramsey doesn't pull with the Cowboys that what he pulled with Jacksonville to get out of Jacksonville to land in L.A. in the first place? So do you only have Jalen Ramsey for his rookie contract and then he's out? And then at that point, it's have you done anything, you know, substantive in that rookie contract? I think that Ezekiel Elliott was much more meaningful for this franchise than Jalen Ramsey would have been. And this is coming from someone who would wanted Jalen Ramsey on the team.
On the contract thing, though, I think that if Jalen Ramsey is here and he's who he was, they would have took care of Jalen Ramsey like they took care of Zeke and Dak. You know, Jerry going to take care of his premium guys, our pro guys. You know, it may be some other people that don't get taken care of.
How does Byron Jones feel about that comment?
He's not in the same class.
He's definitely not.
I'm saying positional-wise, though.
He's definitely not in the same class.
At the time that Jalen Ramsey's contract would have
been— Byron Jones has never been in the same.
Fair.
Never been close.
Here's what I'm saying, though, positionally speaking. At the time the contract would have come due, or it's time for the second contract to be negotiated, this is— pre-McCarthy, this is pre-Dan Quinn, okay? Positional value was lacking at safety, was lacking at cornerback, okay? Positional value was high at quarterback, high at running back. So it's easier for those two, and I say easy loosely because it still took a Cabo trip for Zeke to get what he got. But from a cornerback position, pre-McCarthy, pre-Quinn, and we'll see how it works out with Trevon Diggs, the Cowboys haven't necessarily been all in on throwing a bag at cornerback.
Not cornerback, but the thing about Jerry is not— position is the player. It's about a special player. I picked him fourth overall. He became a Pro Bowl player. I love him.
Oh, see, I don't even.
I'm taking care of him.
I don't know about all that. Even with now, that's a big part of it. But if the first part is what's right, the special player.
Yes.
If he thought Byron Jones was real special like that,
but
that was like you just put him over on an island. He shuts down every single player. He's the best corner in the league. I feel the same way. Seriously, now I'm glad that you're bringing this up because I feel the exact same way.
Byron was shut down. Just not a takeaway machine, but he was shut down.
No, he was not shut down.
Don't make me pull numbers.
I feel the same way about Byron Jones as I feel about Dalton Schultz. They're good players. You'd love to keep them on the team.
You know,
but you're not going to pay big money for them.
Teams did not throw the ball on Byron Jones. You can put numbers like you want to. No, they did not.
They did throw away from him.
No.
They threw it. Cheeto.
They didn't throw away from him.
It's all Cheeto.
They didn't throw it away from him because they were scared of
Cheeto, Bradley Nye catching strays.
Because you were scared they're going to make a play on you.
You do realize there's more than one.
He was not catching nothing.
Okay.
Show me the picks.
I just said that. Didn't I just say
show me the picks.
That's a huge part of it.
Right. He's making up
a play. You threw it away from me.
John, I'm going to turn. John, what did I literally just say?
He did say that he didn't.
I literally just said he doesn't take the ball.
He's not shut down. That's why nobody.
That's the only way you define shut down.
Yes, it's not anybody.
Then we ain't got nothing to talk about.
Anybody scared of him?
He wasn't.
Anybody scared of him?
He was not an elite cornerback.
Well, he wasn't no elite player. What nobody scared of him?
I don't think what would have made Byron Jones elite is if he would have been able to combine the takeaways with his ability to
cover.
If that's the case, then he's still a Dallas Cowboy. Well, he has an injury.
That's all I'm saying.
Would have been still
I'm not going to sit and argue that he didn't take the ball away when I just said that he wouldn't take the ball
that's
away.
That's why nobody's scared of him. No, when I think of shutdown corner, I'm thinking about somebody who you are not
disrespect
throwing
to Byron.
I agree with Patrick that if he had the interception numbers, but I also got to say though, there's a little bit of truth to what Jill was saying. Like nobody was like sitting there like, oh geez, just don't throw it near 31. Like, he might knock it away or something like that, but I don't think quarterbacks are really genuinely scared of throwing it.
I didn't say there was terror. I'm saying that
there is terror to throw at Jalen Ramsey.
We're talking about his arc.
But
when he was at that point and what he would have been.
Jalen Ramsey right now compared to Byron Jones.
What about scared of no damn Byron
Listen, you've
Jones?
Never heard me. I rewind this tape. I did not say Byron Jones was equal.
Let's take a break.
I'm saying.
I'm just making sure.
John's hearing what I'm saying. Clarence is just saying.
Patrick did have an interview with Stephon Gilmore.
Yeah, speaking of cornerbacks.
Let's talk about the now.
Speaking of cornerbacks.
Let's talk about the now right here on the Players Lounge on DallasCowboys.com radio.
The season is finally here. For months, we've been gearing up to win. Now it's time for the team that performs on any field. United Ag and Turf. With John Deere zero turns for mowing, compact tractors for loading, mini excavators for digging, Gator utility vehicles for hauling, implements for grading, hay tools for baling. United Ag and Turf for winning. The official Ag and Turf equipment supplier of the Dallas Cowboys. Visit UnitedAgandTurf.com for more.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savannah. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Lil Sweet! Did you get to work on time?
Yeah, but I just realized it's Sunday.
Lil Sweet says head on home. Dr. Pepper's on its way. So sweet, unique. Baby, there's nothing better. I bet you've probably done something that deserves a Dr. Pepper. Did you invest your nest egg in an NFT?
Yeah, and I don't even know what that is.
It's a non-fungible token.
Everyone's on something that deserves a Dr. Pepper.
When you build, you start with the foundation. And home ownership is a foundation of a stable future. The Bank of America Community Home Ownership Commitment has helped over 34,000 people lay the groundwork so far. With up to $10,000 towards your down payment or 3% of the purchase price, whichever is less, the satisfaction of owning your own place can become a reality. Visit bankofamerica.com/homeowner to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America NA, Equal Housing Lender, credit and collateral is subject to approval. Restrictions apply. This is not a commitment to lend.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Back to Media Mash.
Media Mash, where you come to get the inside information from Clarence Hill, the Star Telegram, Patrick Walker, DallasCowboys.com, John Michaud, the Athletic. I'm merely Newey Scruggs, just a part of this. Happy to go along for the ride. Mr. Walker, DallasCowboys.com, we can go and check out your interview with Stephon Gilmore. Nobody else has had the opportunity yet to really sit down one-on-one. The audio call, but you got to get face-to-face.
Yeah.
Go ahead, break it down.
Well, what I loved more than anything about Stephon Gilmore is the fact that he's not only ready to mentor some of these younger guys like Deron Bland and Trevon Diggs and get these guys to understand what it takes to get to the next level, that Super Bowl level. He's also willing to come in and be open and learn. He said he's willing to learn from Trevon Diggs because he understands, and the humility is there. He understands that while he's an accomplished guy, he still has more he wants to accomplish, and he doesn't know everything. And you have to love a person like that. But also the fact that he says he's been a Cowboys fan all his life, and I know you can take that with a grain of salt because a lot of players have been Cowboys fans all their life. But to the point where he actually sent his uncle a text and his family a text and said, hey, I got a big surprise for you. That goes back to similar to what Brandon Cooks was saying as far as Brandon Cooks wanting to be here in Dallas. This is a guy in Stephon Gilmore who actually wants to be here in Dallas, and now you're dropping him into a defense that has re-secured Donovan Wilson, which we talked about on the previous media match. That was my guy, Nui. I said that was my guy. You had to get in free agency. That was my guy. They went and got him. So you still got your three-headed monster at safety. You got Stephon Gilmore, Diggs, Deron Bland, Jordan Lewis coming back from injury. Diggs is excited. He wants to be here. He's ready to get the work. The humility is there. The mentorship is ready to be unleashed.
Gilmore.
And I even kind of jokingly asked him if there would be a takeaway competition between him and Diggs and Bland, because those are the guys who love to take away the ball. And he was like, yeah, that's what it's all about. Absolutely. Friendly competition, getting it done. So for a team that it does so well in takeaways, you got another guy here to kind of push that envelope.
There you go. All right, Machota.
I just don't know how many times you're going to do shows like this and no one's going to slip up and call him Stephon Diggs. But having Trevon Diggs, Stephon Gilmore, like, there's been multiple times I've been writing it. I'm like, wait a second, hold on. It's already bad enough with Tyron Smith and Tyler Smith. Like,
people wanted Stephon Diggs. They got it in a roundabout way.
I mean.
Stephon and Diggs in the secondary.
That's what I'm saying. You got it around
you know,
the
PH instead of F. Let's be honest now. Where does this put the Cowboys second? Let's put their cornerback crew. Over Miami?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Because I'm thinking of it in this way.
No, what you talking about?
Yeah.
Come on.
Over Miami?
Stop it.
I'm swaying. Hold on. Let me marinate.
I mean, Gilmore still is 31.
Give me Miami's.
Okay.
Thank you.
You know, but it puts him up there, and you add in the safety group that they have, and let's put the secondary.
What is the secondary
as a whole, you know, put these Cowboys, I'd say, as good as any in the league, and that's a good start.
When you say corner, I'm thinking secondary. So, yeah, secondary as a whole, with Gilmore in it, it's nasty.
And Philly or Dallas right now, secondary?
Philly. I mean, not Philly, Dallas, because Philly is bleeding. I mean, they retained Bradbury. They were able to keep Slay, but you lose Gardner Johnson, led the league in interceptions. That safety unit took a massive step back. Cowboys are taking steps forward.
Yeah, still have the draft,
and that's fair. But as we have this conversation, yes. Philly took a huge step back. Cowboys are taking huge steps forward.
Okay. Choda,
I'm just thinking about how I'm so pleased that they've made these moves selfishly for
it's
us.
The smile,
because of the fact of I was tired of covering this team being in neutral this time of year, and I was thinking, are they really going to run it back with mostly this exact same team? Yeah. How much are fans going to care about this team?
You got the hopium,
right? How much are the fans going to care about this team?
Got the hopium,
right? And going into training camp, going into the season, you had these moves, and like you said earlier, it's about winning right now. The Eagles are losing guys like you thought. They lost their offensive and defensive coordinator. That is clearly the team. I guess it's them in San Francisco, and you put yourself right in the mix with them again, and then obviously you just look at
San Francisco's a different story. They got better.
Yeah, they definitely got.
But then you also look at just the landscape of the most important position at quarterback across the NFC. Like, I mean, the Cowboys, they should be right back in the mix again where they've been the last 2 years.
And they've been in the mix. But the good news, and I think I was saying it on the break before, you know, but unlike past years when they set out the first week of free agency and were worse, I can honestly say the first time in a long time the Cowboys got better in March.
Are you trying to say you're happy?
I'm not. It's not a happier.
Hey,
sad.
When is the last time that you would say that? I was thinking about the other day. When's the last time you would say
that? I don't know.
What year was Brandon Carr?
That was 2012.
2012. So they did Brandon Carr, and then they traded up for Maurice Claiborne. Right. Now, it didn't, whatever, but at least in that moment when those things were going on, you were like, wow, that's kind of aggressive.
Like I said, they got better in March, you know, so I don't know if hell's going to freeze over. They're going to have a Super Bowl at Arlington or whatever else, but the Cowboys are doing things differently. They've moved differently. They're trying, again, these are examples of trying to win now. You go back to the end of the season, they made moves with the coaching staff, and Mike McCarthy took over play calling, and they were able to keep Dan Quinn and they had a plan and you like how they went about their plan to change the offense, change the team, keep the coaches, keep the guys that he wanted in free agency, Donovan Wilson, Leighton Van Der Esch, and making these moves.
So
the trades.
So I'm just listening to the three of you, let me just throw this out here. Right now,
Bobby Wagner?
No. Where do you rank the Cowboys in the NFC?
Probably third. I'd probably buy in San Francisco and Philadelphia. But with that being said, there's just a part of me, and maybe I overrate quarterback, but there's just a part of me when I look at the AFC and I think of if you had to go, as I rank it, just a lot easier than if it was the AFC where it's like, man, they got Mahomes and Burrow and Herbert and Aaron Rodgers. Like, there's just, this is the NFC, but I mean, it is so important. That is a key part of this. If one of those two teams had one of those quarterbacks, I'd be like, man, I don't know. There's a big gap there. When I have the Cowboys three, I don't have it as this major gap between
them. You got them top three. Wait.
I got them at number two. Like I said, Philly took a step back. Cowboys took a step forward.
I got them number three. You know, I think, but I do think that the 49ers took a huge step forward.
Yeah, that's my number one. I got 49ers.
And I think the gap, you know, with them, they got better. That team is scary. And I know one thing, if they decide to go all in on Lamar Jackson to go with what they already got, I know they're not going to do it, but, I mean, we love Brock Purdy, but put Lamar Jackson with that running game and that team.
Yeah, that's unfair.
One other thing I just want to add, though, quickly
that's not fair.
On the Gilmore and Cooks moves, I mean, they're both guys that have played in huge games. Gilmore last year is playing in for a Colts team that's only winning less than a handful of games, and he still was probably their best defensive player. He was making moves. He's shown up in big moments. That's what it's going to come down to for this Cowboys team is winning in the playoffs, possibly having to win in Philly, having to win in San Francisco. You added two players that you feel confident with them on the field that they can make big plays in those moments.
Who played in the Super Bowl as teammates, right. And Gilmore ended up winning another Super Bowl while Cooks was on the other side the next year. So, all right, guys, fun as always, man.
Always.
I appreciate that, man. I appreciate that. Clarence Hill, Star Telegram, Dog Team, appreciate you. Mr. Walker, DallasCowboys.com, John Machado. Read him over at TheAthletic.com. I'm Newey Scruggs.
Team B. John.
Do we want to do this next Monday?
Team Great Players.
Team Darnell.
I'll do it every Monday.
We can do it next Monday. No.
Here we go.
We'll be in Phoenix. Owners meeting.
Okay. Then
what was that hand movement?
Yeah,
that first down.
That wasn't even first down.
I don't know what that was.
Okay, so in 2 weeks.
Fifth
check
down.
Your schedule. check your schedule.
John, that was fifth down.
I guess.
Yes. Chris Beam, Big Will, Jazz, everybody making it happen. We appreciate you here. This is DallasCowboys.com Radio.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys?